listening to Legacy Lawyers, hosted by Michael Haslam and Nathan Croxford.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for our podcast today. So today I have a little different group with me. Usually I have Nathan, but we gave him the day off. He's been working really hard. He's been really doing a good job, and we just felt like he finally earned a day off. So we gave it to him. Right, Jesse?
That's right.
That's right. So who I have with us on the podcast today is I have Jesse Gray. He is one of our law clerks here and one of our team members, and he does a lot of amazing things for our clients. And so he worked on this really unique case for one of our clients that brought up a lot of different estate planning issues and situations. And so Jesse's going to join us today to talk a little bit about that case. And also, actually, our client is joining us too. So we have Victoria. And so she is one of our clients that we helped with probate and setting up a trust. And it was kind of a unique situation. So she has a really cool story, and she was gracious enough to join us to tell us a little bit about that. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So what we're going to start with is we want to share the story just because I think it gives everyone who listens to our podcast just some really good context of what they should be thinking about in their own planning for their family, and also just kind of highlights how important it is to have a plan and to have the right team to help you with your plan, because I think the right team is a really big deal. So we'll kind of hit on some of those, but just to kind of start, Victoria, you want to just tell us a little bit about your family and kind of what happened with your mom? And
yeah. So, hey everyone, I'm Victoria. I met the Voyant legal team about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now. My mom passed away very, very unexpectedly at the beginning of 2023, and she had nothing set up, honestly, for her estate planning. It was very unexpected. She was very healthy, fit woman, and it was just very tragic how we lost her. It happened very quickly, and in the weeks after her services, we were left with her estate, and essentially we had no idea what to do with it, where to go, who to talk to, or even next steps. And we have a little bit of a mixed family. My mom remarried when I was about 10 years old. And so I have a stepdad who has raised us as his own children. So there were a lot of nuances, I think, when the, like in the weeks after, as to what's going to happen to my mom's home, my mom's assets. And she also had a life insurance policy that had been set up years ago, back when I was a child. And it got really scary. I remember at the beginning, you know, we ran to the bank to check out the house stuff, and the bank tried to tell us what to do. They gave us like very like high level, like, oh, you just need to go and like go to probate court. And they made it seem like it was something like I could do. And then we also had like a life insurance agent tell me, you know, you could do this. And I was getting all these different, and I was getting so much different advice from so many random people. And it was really overwhelming, especially in the weeks after losing my mom. And that's when I went online. I Googled probate court, I think it was, and just attorneys that helped. And that's how I found you guys. And honestly, it was like a huge lifesaver to us because we had no idea what to do. In terms of how to get my mom's assets in a protected state, in an estate that we can take it over, because she did pass away without a will. And so that,
Victoria, and you weren't in Utah, right?
Or no, I was in New York. I live full time in New York City. So I also was trying to navigate living here and handling an estate case in Utah. And so that was something really tricky as well.
And so when you kind of flew out to Utah and were trying to figure some of this out, did you have a lot of help from other family members, or did it kind of just fall on you, or how did that kind of come
it
out?
kind of fell on me. I have a bit of an estranged relationship with some family members in Utah, and that's where I also seek legal advice as well, in that, you know, things got tricky because I have such a blended family and I have so many family members. My mom comes from a very large family. There were a lot of interests in her estate, and that was something really scary and tricky for me and my dad, because we, you know, there was no place where my mom had left anything that said, you know, it needs to go here, it needs to go to her. We had her word, we knew what she wanted, but there was no formal anything of it, and that was really scary.
So you guys weren't really sure if someone, some other family members might have had claims to some of the assets or...
And I also, yeah, I, at the time of her death, my birth father was still tied to some of those assets. So there was at least like three separate interests on this property we had, as well as her life insurance, which was really, really scary at the time, because I have never dealt with anything like this. I didn't even know about estate planning. It's not something, I'm in my late 20s, it's not something I thought of at all.
Yeah, it's not, usually in your late 20s, it's not something you're
Yeah.
So tell me a little more about the life insurance, because your mom did list a beneficiary on it, right?
So that was one of the hardest parts, I think, that Jesse and I dealt with, was this life insurance policy. And I think my mom, at a time of like when we were really young, she just wanted to set something up for us just to make sure we'd be okay. But she set it up to an aunt, and she only listed it. That was the only beneficiary to this policy, was one aunt who, unfortunately, we had no relationship with.
Oh, wow.
Can you explain why she listed it to your aunt?
I think at the time, I have no idea. I think she just said it as it was someone who she thought could take care of us, and we were children at the time. And it was her sister. But that was more than 24, 25 years ago. I was like a child. And she also never looked at it again. She like made the policy, set it, and then like when I called the life insurance office, which we didn't even know where the life insurance was, we had to go through her documents and track that down. But they, once we even got to the life insurance, they had no idea my mom had had two more children. That's how long ago. She had never even bothered to look at it again. It was something we didn't think about. But I think at the time she just took advice from her family and just said it as that. And it was, in her mind, the best option, I think, at the time. But that was very difficult because we had no relationship with her at the time of my mom's passing. And there were also a lot of different nuances in trying to get that money back.
Yeah, because it's basically like, hey, aunt, I haven't talked too much. You know, all that money from the life insurance that's going to get paid to you. Can you just give that back to us so we can use it for?
Yeah.
You know, your sister's kids, right? So that's kind of, so did you have that conversation with her?
We had it with her husband because we weren't on speaking terms with her. And the plan was at the beginning, there was a conversation I had with him, and you know, I said, like, you know, this is meant for us, it's meant for the children, like there's no, you know, there's no need for you guys to keep this. And at the time they had told me that they would hand it over, like no questions asked, it'd be okay. And then there was an incident where I did try speaking with this aunt, with both, two of my aunts actually. And they had decided they wanted to keep the inheritance and manage it themselves. And that's where things got really, really messy, because this is a family that I haven't had a relationship with prior to my mom's passing, much less did they have a relationship with my younger siblings.
Had they even met your younger siblings?
It was very, very estranged. It was like in passing. There was like zero relationship there. And so I think that was something that like was the worst part of all of this, was there was this huge life insurance policy that was suddenly in the hands of someone that we had no relationship with and no communication with. And this was the first thing I actually came to Voyant Legal about, was trying to get this money back. And it took us a while. And it was really tricky, I think, the way we ended up having to get it back, because this was something I didn't even know was all of the tax issues that come up when you leave behind a life insurance policy. And it's something that, you know, my mom definitely didn't know when she set it up. I think she thought that it would just be able to be set up and be dispersed as is, but it's way more complicated than that.
It really is. So we see that a couple times a year where someone had set up a policy and they listed the beneficiary as somebody who the money wasn't really for, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is, hey, I'm not going to list a minor as the beneficiary, so I'll list this other adult and just trust that they'll use it for the minor and do it the right way. I call that kind of shortcut planning, because it's not gonna, it's like maybe a quick way to approach it, but it's not the right way to do it. And so that's the tricky thing, right? When you give that life insurance to those minors, that the IRS calls that a gift. And so there's gift tax issues that come into play. And then, it's really, really scary if that person's going to, actually give the money for the minor. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen where people haven't done it. And, in this case, your aunt did the right thing.
Yeah. Thankfully they ended up doing the right thing, but it was tricky because of the amount and the way we had to pass it, because at once they received it, it was just theirs. And I think that's something that, like, I don't know why no one communicated that better to my mom, but I wish, you know, there was more insight or more guidance onto how that needs to be dispersed, because from what I understood, it was completely hers. She could have, to her best interest, done whatever she wanted to with it. And thankfully they ended up passing, like, giving it back to us, but it did have to be gifted back to us over a period of 2 years because of all of the tax implications and everything. And so that was something that we had no idea about. My mom had no idea about. And had there been even just a little bit more help for her or guidance, it would have saved us a lot of, like, headaches and stress. This was something that, like, kept me and my dad up at the beginning when we were dealing with our grief. It was something really scary to be thinking about all of this money just sitting somewhere at someone else's discretion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because once it hits her account, it's like fingers crossed, right? So Jesse, yeah. Weren't you involved a little bit in some of that? So what was some of those conversations like?
So it was tricky at first. So I remember at first, so I'm going to call them Vicky's aunt and uncle, Victoria's aunt and uncle, because that's who we were talking to. And when Victoria came to us, we told her that we would be able to speak to her aunt and uncle as well. You know, and we told Victoria from the beginning that you're not necessarily entitled to this. We're going to do everything we can to help you, because we know that's what the money was intended for. You know, and so that's, sometimes as estate planners, we have to use practical solutions as opposed to legal ones when to help our clients. And so I remember we began the negotiations with Victoria's uncle. And in the beginning, he wanted to use the tax implications as a reason not to give them the money to begin with, but to set up trusts where they would be the trustees to distribute that money to them. And as our negotiations continued, you know, we started to get more positive results for Victoria, where, you know, he said, okay, we can distribute, but we're going to do it over a period of 10 years to avoid some of those heavier tax implications. And yeah, so ultimately, as everyone knows now, you know, we got the money over a 2-year period, but it took weeks of negotiating, and not only talking to Victoria's uncle, but also talking to his account manager, because he was the one advising him about the tax implications. And, you know, it was just a slow and steady grind of just saying, hey, this was intended for Victoria, you know that. And I think another positive factor that we haven't mentioned is this uncle and his wife are relatively wealthy anyways. So that made it a little easier to negotiate that. But yeah, but we try to maximize for our clients what we can do. And even though we just did a probate, that was something else we saw that we could help Victoria with that, you know, her family really needed at the time. So
let's talk about probate a little bit, Victoria. So the house had something with it that, was the deed, the deed was a little
out. The, yeah. So when my mom passed, they had my birth father who was, is also deceased. Okay. It was my birth father and my mom on the deed. And so we, like, that was something where at the very beginning, we literally ran to the bank and we were like, what do we do? Like, this is our house, but both of the people are now passed. And I think this is where it's really tricky and really scary also, because they tried giving us some legal advice and tried to make it this like do it yourself, like let's go to like just go to probate court, you just have to petition the court. And it was something they told me that like we could just go do ourselves. But I think what was really overwhelming was they said it could take months, they said it was up to a judge. And I also was really scared of the fact that I had my biological father's family possibly could make a claim on this home. This was our family's home, it's been our family's home for more than 25 years. And it's something, yeah, that was the main thing I came to with you guys, was getting this home back into our possession. Because there was, they didn't even, my mom didn't even leave like anything saying that it should go anywhere.
Jesse, for the home, so where Victoria's birth father's name was on it, what did that look like on our end with the probate?
Yeah. So what it looked like on our end, and this is something that we really sat down with Victoria, helped her to understand, you know, because like she said, she was really nervous. And so we wanted, you know, we read all the documents. We wanted to make sure that she didn't feel so nervous, because we had a really good solution for that. And that was her mother, her birth father. And here's where I'll make a distinction, if that's okay. But she has her birth father and her stepfather. She actually calls her father, which is pretty cool. And so her birth father and her birth mother were on the deeds as joint tenants. So once her birth father passed, you know, it vested interest into her birth mother. And once her birth mother, and so, and they never changed, like she said, they never changed the deed to be into her stepfather's name, even though they had been living in the home for all that time. As Victoria said, her mom and her stepdad had two more kids, which pretty much grew up in that home their whole lives. And so, yeah, but they never changed the ownership on the deed. And so what we did with the probate is we did go to court to go get probate for Victoria. And once we got the judge to sign that order, we then filed a personal representative deed with an affidavit of joint death of joint tenant. And then I think this is a great other place to segue, because we didn't just put it into Victoria's name or her dad's name, but Victoria really wanted to avoid the pitfalls that she'd been experiencing. So here's where she was really proactive, and she wanted to create a trust to ensure that that family legacy would continue if another unfortunate tragedy were to occur. And I think that's a good place to kick off the next part of her story.
Yeah. So Victoria, after we kind of were able to get a plan to get the life insurance back to you, get the house set up so it's going, and technically the house, because there's a blended family, the default rules for the house would send some of that to the kids and some of that to your stepfather. Mm-hmm. And so you have kind of this blended ownership now in the house. And so now that those things were kind of addressed, you wanted to have a good plan going forward. So what were your thoughts on that?
I think for me, I just wanted, for all of this, like the amount of stress and like anguish and like just unnecessary pain that we were dealing with in the weeks after my mom passed, it was something that I wanted to make sure none of my siblings ever had to deal with in the unfortunate case, you know, that I pass or that my dad passes. Like, I wanted to make sure things were set in stone so that this didn't happen again. I also wanted to make sure my dad was protected and his assets were protected, because it was just really painful and really scary for us to go through such a horrible time already, and then having to deal with so many legal things, and then just the things that were up in the air, you know, like the life insurance, the house, it felt so like anything could happen. And it was at everyone else's discretion, it almost felt like. So that was where I went ahead and I just set up a family trust to protect our life insurance money that we had received, and to also protect the house that we had, that because it was our family house. And it was something I set up especially for my little sisters who are still young, and I wanted to make sure that they were taken care of regardless of what happens to me or my father. I wanted to make sure that there was something in place to take care of them, and steps in place in the case that any of us pass away. So it was something that I, as soon as we wrapped everything up, that was like the next thing we got right on to doing.
First thing on your list, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really, that's really, really smart. Cause you know, sometimes we do think I'm young, nothing's going to happen, right? Like I don't need a plan, or what's an estate plan. As we started, you hadn't even thought of what estate planning is. Right. And, But life always happens. And so I feel like that peace of mind of having a plan is really incredible. So Jesse, just as we set up the trust, what's some of the unique things we did to make sure things would really protect Victoria and her sisters if something weird came up?
Yeah. So, and this is the cool part, and I'll lead into that by a quick question to Victoria by saying, I know you don't like this question because we've talked about it at length, but I'm going to ask you just so people can know. But you know, you have your dad. Why were you dealing with this mostly? Why were you in charge of everything? And why is he not taking the reins?
I think it's just, it's my role in my family. It's something that I did for my mom in honor of her. It's something my mom always led the home. She kind of always pushed my dad to the side. And it was something that she really instilled in us that as women, we need to take that, you know, that direction, that leadership, that guidance. And also my dad's an immigrant. He's been here for more than 20 years now, or about 20 years, but all of this stuff is relatively new for him, and it can be really difficult. There's language barriers, there's the just lack of knowledge, and it's something that I wanted to take care of for him. He was my mom's husband and he raised us, so it's something I felt like I owed to him and to my family.
Yeah. And I think that's a great introduction to how we set up the trust. And because like you were saying, Mike, those assets, that home was going to be divided between Victoria and her two brothers and her stepdad. And so, but the way that they all wanted it to happen, and through the leadership of Victoria, was let's set up a trust. Let's put the home in the trust. And let's make sure, and the way that they set it up was to make sure that Arturo could live there for as long as he needed to and raise his family there. Okay. And then also what Victoria did with, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Victoria, what you did with the money that you got from the life insurance is you actually paid off the mortgage on the home.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of take that concern away that, you know, house is paid off, everybody's good, we have some security.
Yeah.
And then there was still that extra money in, and you created an account, a bank account that was, you put into the trust with the extra insurance money. And we created provisions in the trust to give distributions to your four siblings, you included, and your four siblings, and your siblings under a certain age would have what are called general needs trusts until they hit a certain age. And so just to ensure that they would be taken care of. And I remember our conversations of, you know, how that made you feel better because, you know, like you said, all that money was intended for you, your mom's life insurance policy, but it didn't have that effect in practice. And so you wanted something in practice that would take care of your siblings if something happened to you and your stepdad, right? And that's exactly how we set up the trust, that we put the money into that bank account. We created general needs trusts in case something happened to you guys so that that money would be distributed for their benefit that way.
So one of the things that we're kind of always talking about in our podcast, Victoria, is like why families need a trusted advisor to help them with their estate planning. And it's not just as simple as, hey, I sign a few documents, put them on the shelf, and I have a plan. With us, you know, as we helped you with the probate and as we set up the trust and kind of the plan, we've really focused on being that trusted advisor for you. So just talk to if you felt like you've had that support and just any thoughts you have along that like approach.
No, I mean, it's definitely something I'm super grateful for. I know I spent a lot of time in the office, a lot of time calling, and it's also just hard in my shoes. I'm the oldest of my siblings, but I'm no one's parent, and they weren't decisions for me to make. Unfortunately, because of the situation and because of how quickly my mom passed, it was something I had to step up to do. And I was very thankful that you guys had all of the input that you had, because, you know, there are the intricacies of my family being a blended family, and in a perfect world we would always hope everything just ends up okay. That was something we expected when my mom passed, you know, and that was actual blood family that ended up not helping us out in the way we expected them to. So I think having you guys as those trusted advisors who have seen cases before, who have seen, you know, I'm sure way crazier stories, it was nice to have that guidance in front of me and to be able to, you know, trust you guys to be able to like help set it up for us in the best way. It was something I was really grateful for.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that feedback. And that's the cool thing about having a team like Voyant Legal is now that you guys have that trust set up and you have a plan going forward, as things change and comes up in your life and in your dad's life and in your sibling's life, we're still here to, you know, answer questions you guys have and make sure that awesome plan that you put in place is going to accomplish your guys' goals. And we're glad that eventually you guys got to a place where you have a good outcome, and the journey was hard and super stressful. And I could only imagine being in those shoes. So thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I mean, you guys saved us last year. Like it was, I remember just like reading so much online, trying to figure it out myself. And I can't remember who told me or what ended up happening. That was like, just go get an attorney. And it was, you know, the estate planning on top of everything else helped my family so much. And there's so much security now in that sense of like, okay, if anything happens, we're all okay. And we won't have to deal with this ever again. Cause it was a very difficult time.
So I think you've kind of already said it a little bit, but like just for any families out there that maybe haven't done planning or aren't sure if they need it or anything, any last tips, Victoria, from your end or thoughts?
I would just do it. I would do it. Like whatever you have, even if it's like something small, like just do it. I ended up doing my own estate planning. Like it was something that we did. It was for me and my dad and for my family. Like it, that peace of mind, because when you're on the other side of things, it happens so quickly and you never know when it will happen. And it, like, we never expected my mom to pass when she did. And had we had these things in place, it would have saved us a lot of pain. And so I would just go do it. Go to your nearest estate planner, anyone, and just get it done. Because you never know when you'll need it, and you don't want to be on the other side of things without something in place.
You really don't. And that's the tough thing. I tell people all the time, like, hey, you're doing the planning, not for you. It's for the people you love. The people we love have to pick up the pieces. If there isn't a plan, they have to kind of make it work. And you did an amazing job stepping up for your family. So kudos to you. Good job. They're lucky to have you. Jesse, any final thoughts you had on just kind of Victoria's experience?
Honestly, it's been a pleasure working with Victoria. She really did step up to the plate. It was a really difficult time. And, you know, something I think that we strive hard at Voyant Legal is just, you know, we recognize, because on top of all this stress with the estate planning, like, I mean, Victoria has lost someone very dear in her life. And part of our mission here too is to provide space for people like you, Victoria, to grieve when you need to grieve, right? So, and for me, that's what I've seen, is that's another reason why estate planning is so important. It's because when you have that in place, you allow the people closest to you that space and that time to grieve. Because it's difficulty compounded with so many different things.
So a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
And I like that thought, Jesse, because we do get calls from our clients, right, after their loved ones do pass away. And like, what do I got to do next, right? And we always tell them, you know, they have your parents or your loved one has a great plan in place. So besides these few little things that they usually have already done, right? Like coordinate with the mortuary and everything. You don't need to really do anything super urgent until you're ready. So sometimes, you know, you can take a little extra time to grieve and before you have to pivot to finances and some of those other things. And So where Victoria's mom didn't have that plan set up for him, that kind of hit him right in the face right at the start. Like, what do we do with all the house and everything? It becomes more of an urgent thing. So again, thank you so much, Victoria, for taking the time and joining us. And we're glad you guys are in a better spot now.
No, thank you guys. It's been amazing. And I'm very grateful we found your team.
Well, we'll go ahead and call it an episode. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Legacy Lawyer podcast.
You've been listening to Legacy Lawyers with Michael Haslam and Nathan Croxford. We give you the juicy detail of cases that our law firm has dealt with. We take out the lawyer talk and legalese and show you what options some of our clients had to choose from to fix their situation. The effects of not doing planning can be devastating. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, hook up with us on Facebook and Instagram at Voyant Legal. Call us at 801-951-0500 or send us an email at team@voyantlegal.com. And for commonly asked questions, hit voyantlegal.com/resources. We'll see you next time.